This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Ayyuhal ikhwa, uhayyikum bi tahiyyat al-islam. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Wa
nas'al Allah ta'ala an yaghfir lana dhunubana wa yukaffir anna sayyi'atina. Nas'aluhu bi'ilmin nafi' wa rizqin wasi'. وعليه نتوكل وإليه المصير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وقال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Praise be to Allah, we praise Him, Lord of the worlds. We send peace and prayers on His final message, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We ask Allah to forgive us, to guide us, forgive us our sins, and blot out our sins. We ask Allah for useful knowledge and wide sustenance, and on Him we utterly depend, and to Him is our return. To carry on with the seerah, if you remember, before all the topics of social interaction that we covered between Muslims and non-Muslims, and jihad, which we covered extensively, we were at the stage after Hijrah, where we've covered after Hijrah, coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam Medina, and we covered al-Muakha, which was the special brotherhood bond that he established, a building of the masjid, Ashab al-Sufa, not people of the bench, but people of the shelter, if you remember, the sheltered accommodation. The wathiqa, or dustur, or the ahad, which was the, like the treaties or the constitution, they call it in more later times, of Medina, between the people of Medina, between the believers and others as citizens, and between the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the believers, and the Jewish tribes, which was established. Now, carrying on, coming back to the story, what is happening now? When the Prophet ﷺ actually, and this is very important to understand before we start with the Ghazawat and also the Sariyah, or the expeditions or battalions sent out. Historians sometimes differentiate between a Ghazwa. Some said Ghazwa, when it's called Ghazwa, it's when the Prophet ﷺ came out. Others, and Sariya is when others led the battalion out for whatever purpose they were sent for, whether for fighting or whether for reconnaissance. But it's nothing fixed about it. Okay, some liked it like that, but you can't go by that. But it's important to understand that from a seerah point of view, and it's not always very clear when you study seerah, that the warfare is not initiated by the Muslims and the Prophet ﷺ. Many Muslims have this idea, and you can sometimes get this idea if you read seerah without deeper analysis of it, that the Prophet ﷺ's week in Mecca, and yes, the Quran said, hold kuffu aydikum wa aqimus salah, hold down your hands and establish salah. But in Medina now it's a state, so now he starts initiating warfare with the mushriks and the surrounding people. It's not true. And others, in fact, became very defensive, because the Orientalists, of course, took this interpretation because it suited them from many centuries back, saying, oh look, as soon as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrives, of course they don't say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I say that, in Medina, he starts now looting and attacking caravans called looting, highway robbery. Na'udhubillah. And look at the punishment for highway robbery in Islam. So how can the Prophet be living a completely contradictory life? Na'udhubillah, he was never for that. Yeah, he was an example of the Quran. So highway robbery is a kind of punishment for that. Is actually crucifixion and severing of limbs from alternative sides. If you look at the Quran, it's a very painful punishment for highway robbery. Because not only are you taking loot, but you're threatening the lives of people and involves murder, looting, etc. So why would the Prophet ﷺ be doing something like that? So how do we understand what's happening? And actually we find that in authentic reports. You gotta dig a bit in the seerah, because in seerah you don't find much. But in the hadith you find which are authentic. For example, firstly, let's begin with how did the Prophet ﷺ leave Mecca? What were the Quraysh trying to do? They were trying to kill him. Okay? They were trying to kill him. So they didn't actually just fold their arms when the believers were escaped from Mecca, and how they were persecuting them, and those who were leaving, they were actually punishing them and persecuting, capturing someone, bringing them back and persecuting them, kept them captive, took their wealth off them, yeah, killed some. All that's going on, okay? So war's already been declared on the believers. That's the first part of it. And they didn't finish with it when they thought, oh, yeah, Muhammad's gone now. That's it, it's alright, we can all relax now. You think that was the case? Doesn't fit, does it? They didn't do that in Abyssinia when only a few companions went. What did they do? They tried to go and capture them, bring them back. Now it wasn't like, you know, a few who've gone to Abyssinia. The leader has gone with them, you know, and a majority have gone. So they're not going to just rest and say, oh, it's all right, we'll just ignore them. That wasn't the case. And they had, individuals had pacts and agreements, yeah, with people in Medina as well. Some with the Yahud and others with other mushriks in Medina, as we'll see. Beyond that, we need to realize this is Quraysh you're talking about. Quraysh had an awe and a presence all around the Arabian Peninsula. Yes? And all tribes basically looked up to the Quraysh, whether they were settled around Medina or elsewhere, because they used to come for the Haram. Yeah? It's a sanctuary, place of worship was the Kaaba. Because of the Kaaba, Quraysh held the position. That position. And they had that position then. So now, they weren't going to just leave it like that. If Medina's taken them in, it's mentioned in Bukhari, for example, Sahih Hadith in Bukhari, that soon after the Hijrah, the Quraysh wrote a letter to the king-to-be in Medina. Who was that? Yes, Ibn Salul. What's his name? Abdullah ibn Ubay. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, who became known as the leader of the Munafiqs. Yeah? But this is his background. He was about to be crowned king, they were saying. The Ansar used to say it to Prophet, you know, give him time, Ya Rasulullah. He was about to be crowned king before you arrived. He's from Khazraj. Yeah? But he didn't involve himself in the Battle of Bu'ad, between Aus and Khazraj, he stayed neutral, and therefore he was looked up to in that regard and respect. And that was all taken from him. So in a worldly sense, that's how he saw, he was looking at worldly sense. So he was the one, because his leadership, if he was about to become king, he's not just Joe Abdullah from the street, he's somebody who has great presence in that place called Medina. So the Quraysh write to him, as it mentioned in Bukhari, "You have given shelter to our man. We tell you, either you kill him or hand him over to us. Turn him out of Medina. Or else, we swear by God, we will attack you and destroy you and seize your women and children." What's that? Declaration of
war.
That's declaration, clear declaration of war. It, like I said, it's not just Joe Bloggs. This is a leader who was seen as a leader. For Quraysh, they still see him as leader because they don't want to accept that Muhammad was the leader there. They just rejected him. And they, you know, are negative. So they're telling him. And At this stage, in the first couple of years, Abdullah ibn Ubay didn't embrace Islam. And when the Prophet ﷺ used to do da'wah, Sahih Muslim mentions an incident, which is also mentioned in Sirah, that the Prophet ﷺ used to come to talk to them. And at one time, Prophet ﷺ came riding a donkey. This is the humility of Rasulullah ﷺ. He was riding a donkey and he came to a crowd of Ansar, and Abdullah ibn Ubay was sitting amongst them, and the donkey raised some dust. And he was really nasty with his comments. Oh, doing this, you know, oh, don't come to us. If you want to know, why do you keep coming to us to annoy us? If we want to learn, we'll come to you. And so the others, who were also from us, there were some believers there, they were annoyed with what Abdullah ibn Ubay said. They said, Ya Rasulullah, ignore him. We asked, come to us. Come to us. So this was his attitude. Yeah, it was many times and continued for years, even when he claimed to be a believer, which was after Badr actually. Open enmity, open hatred many times. And the Prophet ﷺ just used to forgive and overlook and forgive and overlook always. Now, also what happened, and mentioned by Bukhari again in an authentic hadith, that Sa'd ibn Mu'az, who was leader of the Aus, he had a friendship and a pact with Umayyah ibn Khalf. Who was Umayyah ibn Khalf, briefly? Who was his slave? Bilal. He used to beat up Bilal. Umayyah, the nasty character, one of the nasty leaders. Yeah, Umayyah ibn Khalf. And he was friends with him. After Hijrah, a short while, he came to visit to do Umrah, etc. And his friendship was with Umayyah. When he was with Umayyah at the Haram, Abu Jahl went by. And Abu Jahl realized that he was Ansari, not Ansari, and Madani. He's come from Medina. But Abu Jahl also knew that, and they used to, if you remember when we did Meccan period, they used to respect a pact of giving shelter, of friendship, in the Mushrik times. They would respect that. Even if they had enmity, they would leave them alone. Because of that, they would respect the pact of somebody like Umayyah ibn Khalf. So Abu Jahl said, you people are given shelter. And he threatened Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. You have given shelter to the Sabi'. Sabi'. And this is, remember Quran mentions Sabi'een? Those who have changed their religion. So he used in a negative sense, oh, he's changed his religion. You've given shelter to him. If it wasn't for Umayyah and your pact with him, you'd be dead. I'd kill you. But we're gonna stop you on the lines that we're gonna stop you coming here doing Umrah nevertheless. Don't come here doing Umrah. So Sa'd ibn Mu'adh nevertheless said to him, if you stop us from doing Hajj and Umrah, beware your caravans go right under our nose past Medina. Right? And this is leadership again. This is the previous government people. So they're being threatened as to what's gonna happen and what's coming. It is also clear from what the Prophet's behavior was that the threat to his life from the mushriks in Mecca and their allies, whether as individuals or tribes around Medina, hadn't finished. It is well documented that on arrival in Medina, the Prophet used to have sleepless nights. And Nasa'i mentions in authentic hadith that was the case. In one hadith, he mentioned the Prophet used to have sleepless nights and he called out, one saying, "Who is there anybody who will guard me? You know, somebody who I can rely and trust on." And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, one of the early converts from Mecca, Quraysh, came with full armor on. And the Prophet ﷺ was pleased. He used to stand guard at night time. So the Prophet ﷺ then rested. Other reports, in Al-Hakim, it mentions that other Sahaba slept with their armor on because of this threat from the Quraysh. Because they knew the war had been declared on them. That's why this was a situation. Yeah, they were in a state of war declared on them. Declared on them. And in one report, then the Prophet ﷺ said to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas after some time, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we will protect you, then Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no need to come and guard me at night time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to protect me now anyway. Now, so that was a situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that situation of war being declared on Medina, then revealed different ayat compared to the ayat of Kufu Aydiyakum wa Aqimus Salah. Hold down your hands and establish Salah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ulama said, and this is also from Zahaba as well, like Ibn Abbas, that the first ayat to be revealed in regards to allowing to fight back for the believers was أُذِنَا لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ نَصْرِهِ لَقَدِيرٌ. This is ayah in surah number 22, verse number 39. Surah number 22 is surah Hajj. Surah Hajj is a Makki surah. This ayah, when I say it's being revealed now, is it a Makki ayah? It's Madani. This is one of those situations when you have a Makki ayah and Surah Hajj has three or four ayat like this. Yeah? A few ayat which are Madani in a Makki surah. Yeah? There are other examples as well of that, perhaps 10, 12, which are authenticated. And only one example of which is the most authentic opinion. Only one example of a Madani ayah with a Madani surah with Makki ayah in it. And that is Surah Al-Hadid, surah number 57, which is a Madani surah. And the ayah which is Makki in it, which means it comes early in Mecca. Yeah. And then when Al-Hadid, the rest of it is revealed in Medina, the Prophet will have told Sahaba, put this ayah in that surah. And that ayah is Alam Ya'ni lil-ladina amanu an takhsha'a qulubuhum li dhikrillahi wa ma I think it's ayah number 13, but anyway, you can check that out just to give you some idea that you can have that, but that's the only case, the other way around. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals in Surah Hajj as I said, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. Permission has been given for those who have been fought. So that's telling you who declared war first. The ayah is telling you, isn't it? It's not saying permission has been given for you to fight. It's saying permission has been given, and inherent in the meaning is for you to fight back. الَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ is saying it in the passive sense. Those who have been fought, now permission has been given to them, meaning to fight back. بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا, because they have been oppressed and wronged. Yeah, wrong has been done to them because they've been fought and war has been declared. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ نَصْرِهِ لَقَدِيرٌ. Verily Allah has power to help them. And another ayah which is linked with this is in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 119. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. And fight those in the way of Allah, those who are fighting you. What does that suggest again? Same as the other one. They're fighting, declared warriors, to fight back. Though in the way of Allah, those who are fighting, وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا. Nevertheless, don't go beyond limits. Don't transgress. Yeah? Surely Allah does not love those who are transgressors. SubhanAllah. Even control in that situation as well. And the ayahs go on, فَإِنِ انْتَهَوْا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And if they stop fighting, a couple of ayahs later, then surely Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. وقاتلوهم حتى لا تكون فتنة, and it carries on with that. Anyway, that's enough for us with these two ayahs to know that the situation in regards to warfare for the believers now changed. So how did the Prophet ﷺ deal with this? And we're now in the second year of Hijrah. The Prophet ﷺ, you find there are mention of, he deals with it three ways at different stages. One is making treaties, trying to make treaties with tribes around Medina and beyond. For what purpose? So they, because then what's the, before, why is he making treaties? Because what have I said already about majority of Arabia in regard to the Quraysh? They're in their pockets. So when you're making treaties as Medina, you have to make a fresh treaty to change that which is the original status. The original status is everybody's with the Quraysh. So if they're doing this to people in Medina, they are also working up other tribes to attack Medina now. Because they've said, we will come. Doesn't mean we'll come ourselves. We'll also stir up trouble for you, which is what they were doing already. 2 years, they're already doing it. And the Prophet ﷺ knew about it. Right? So part of this mission now was data gathering, so therefore some of the Sharia people were sent out, fact-finding mission, scouting mission, not to fight, just to go and find out what's going on, what the Quraysh are up to and what the other tribes are up to, so that the threat is, you know about it beforehand, not wake up rubbing your eyes like we do nowadays and we've already been bombed and destroyed. Prophet ﷺ already, in anticipation, is doing fact-finding. So part of some of these battalions, groups of Sahaba going out, is to do a fact-finding mission. Second, it is to make treaties with tribes around. For example, Ibn Ishaq mentions, although these couple of Sariya, you can say, as I said, Sariya is like a battalion or a party going out armed, was Abwa, and the other one, Dhul Ashira. These were in the early second year, and they made treaty with the likes of Banu Dhumra and Banu Mudlij. They were adjacent tribes 20 odd miles away from Medina, yeah, because they realized there was some threat from them, so they made a treaty with them, and they cooperated in that. So scouting mission, making treaties to reduce the threat on Medina, and the third was going to be economic sanctions. Now, that's not looting. Economic sanction in warfare, if the people have declared war on you, you do it now, you cut off their economy, don't you? It'd be stupid not to. Because by cutting their economy off, you weaken them, so there'll be less killing. So of course that's going to be a priority. Yeah? Hence, some of the companions were sent out to monitor and see what was going on in regards to trade caravan, and also, even though majority of time at this stage there was no actual taking of the possessions of the Quraysh, but there was an observance and a presence which the Quraysh realized. We can see horsemen following us, observing. So it gave them a feeling of threat. That you're not going unnoticed. You're going right under our noses. Yeah? But no offensive yet. Still from the Muslims, no offensive. Although war's already been declared on them. So this is still in the second year. And yeah. And what we also have, and the safety of the caravans, because the caravan routes for the Quraysh are very famous. Quran talks about them. لِإِيلَافِ Quraysh, in Surah Quraysh, that's what it's talking about. لِإِيلَافِ Quraysh. إِيلَاف is like إِتِلَاف. It's like having an agreement or a coalition. The coalitions and agreements of the Quraysh, which allowed them to have their rihlat al-shita'i was-saif, which allowed them to have their commercial journeys. In winter, they went towards Yemen, and in the summer they went towards Sham, towards Syria, which is what the Quran is talking about. So they were well-established commercial journeys. Yeah. And certainly the ones going towards Sham are under threat because the Prophet ﷺ, Medina's on the way in that direction. Okay. Now, in the second year, in Rajab, which is one of the sacred months, at Jahri times with the Quraysh, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still accepted it and called it that, the Prophet ﷺ sent somebody called Abdullah ibn Jahsh at the head of about 80 muhajireen. One thing to mention here, that all these parties which are going out of Medina to do the reconnaissance mission, and whether it's economic sanctions or making treaties, putting their life under threat, because you're not going to necessarily turn up and the people are going to make a treaty with you. They may fight you and kill you. True? They're all going armed for that reason. They're all muhajirs. All muhajirs. Very important to remember. Including this party, sent under leadership of Abdullah ibn Jahsh, muhajir of course, 80 muhajirs. Why are they all muhajirs? Remember the second pledge in Aqaba, which was the pledge of war. What did the Ansar agree?
Protection.
Yeah, but where?
Inside Medina.
So the Prophet ﷺ, their pledge is being kept. That's why he's not asking them to go out. They never gave any pledge that they were going to go out and do all this. They said, we'll protect you like our families and children, meaning when Medina's under attack and you're under attack. Not if you go out and put yourself at the lion's den. So they made no such agreement. Hence, you see all this in the second year, all these are muhajirs going on. Prophet ﷺ, Sira mentions, but there's nothing clear or authentic, that this mission is authentic, about a letter that he gave Abdullah ibn Jahsh and told him to open it after 2 days, which tells him his mission. Whatever the truth, the reality is he was told to go to Nakhla, which is south of Mecca. So it's a long journey from Medina. And he was sent on a reconnaissance mission to find out what's going on, what the Quraysh planning. Why? Because they declared war on Medina. That's why you're going out, finding out, reconnaissance. See what's going on, see what's going on with their economy. In order to have warfare, what do you need? You need money. So if caravans are going here and there, they're also trying to make lots of money to be able to take a strong army out if they're going to attack Medina. Very important to remember that. So Abdullah ibn Jahsh goes there. We don't know the full detail. So a lot of it surmise. But the reality is, for some reason, whatever the reasons, and they must have had their reasons, there was a caravan that was on the outskirts of Mecca. Abdullah ibn Jahsh took consultation with some of the Sahaba who were with him, Muhajirs, and instead of just observing, they decided to attack. There's no detail as to why they attacked. Okay? So there must have been some reason, but we haven't got the details, either in Hadith, Sirah, anywhere, or in the Quran. And when they attacked, they killed somebody called, one person, Mushrik, called Al-Hadrami. And they captured two others, and they brought them back to Medina with the booty, what they captured of the goods. So when they brought them back to Medina, the Prophet ﷺ was cross. He said, I told you, I didn't tell you to attack. I'm not going to accept the booty, what you brought back. And so it was on this occasion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah Baqarah, this ayah, verse 217. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah saying, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامِ قِتَالٍ فِيهِ قُلْ قِتَالٌ فِيهِ كَبِيرٌ وَصَدٌّ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَكُفْرٌ بِهِ وَالْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَإِخْرَاجُ أَهْلِهِ مِنْهُ أَكْبَرُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَكْبَرُ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ وَلَا يَزَالُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ حَتَّى يَرُدُّوكُمْ عَن دِينِكُمْ إِنْ اسْتَطَاعُوا وَمَنْ يَرْتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَيَمُتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ فَأُولَئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَأُولَئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they ask you about the haram months, the sacred months. Because what had happened, when this happened, that the Quraysh made a big noise around all the tribes around, as far as they could get. Oh, Muhammad has no respect for your tradition. He has no respect even for the sacred months. They attack in it. They take booty. They're doing killing and taking captures. So trying to stir up more. Not giving the full story, of course, what they were doing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they ask you about fighting in the holy month, in the sacred month. Say, fighting in it is a big thing. It's a big sin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala agreed with what they had as a sacred month of with Rajab and the three others. But barring people from the way of Allah, disbelieving in Him and denying entry into the holy mosque and expelling its inhabitants from it are more awesome acts in the sight of Allah. And persecution is even more heinous a sin than killing. Killing in warfare. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned the tables. Now what you've done to them is much worse. And the reality is you've declared war. And before you declared war, look at the stuff you've done. Yeah. So they will not cease, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carries on. And they will not cease fighting against you till they turn you from your religion if they can. Who? The Quraysh. In other words, they're going to carry on with their war against you. Allah saying it in the Quran to confirm what I said earlier of their declaration of war. So, that whoever amongst you turns away from his religion dies in a state of kufr, of disbelief. Their works will go to waste in this world and the next. They are destined then for the fire, and it is there that they will abide. So this is a warning for those, don't turn away from once you've believed, even at the threat of warfare and being killed, etc. This is the situation in regards to, and this is all a build-up to the Battle of Badr. This is the stuff that's taking place. Hadrami being caught, many ulama said afterwards, and some even Sahaba and Tabi'een, that they're already enraged. They've already declared war, Quraysh. Right? They weren't happy about being observed in their caravan. Now, in the sacred month, they get attacked, and one of key people, Hadrami was from one of the leading tribes, is killed, and the Prophet ﷺ takes two of them and asks ransom for them, for their freedom as well. So they're totally enraged. Yeah. So some Sahaba said, the actual real... trigger, despite war being declared by Quraysh, the trigger to make it even imminent was this killing of Hadrami. Yeah, where they'd already decided and that's it. We're really going to go for it. Yeah, those are opinions. Okay, whether they were already planning that, whether this was a trigger, Allah Alam, really, because it certainly will contribute to it, but doesn't mean to say they weren't planning it already. Everything indicates that they were already planning it actually. So this trigger only enraged them more. We can say that, yes. Now, before Ghazwat al-Badr, this is Rajab. And again in Rajab, something takes place in the second year, in the middle of Rajab. So this was around the second of Rajab. In the middle of the month of Rajab, there is the change of the Qibla from
Jerusalem.
Baytul Maqdis, Jerusalem to?
No.
To the Kaaba. To the Kaaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this comes in juz number 2 in Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first revealed. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَحَيْثُمَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَهُ وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ لَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have seen you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ. We have seen you turn your face repeatedly towards the sky, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, turning to Allah. So Allah knew why he was doing it. So now we are turning you to the direction that will satisfy you, the Qibla. Ibn Abbas said the Prophet ﷺ used to look to Allah because he was missing Makan. He wanted, that was the wish of the Prophet, Messenger of Allah, to have the Kaaba as the Qibla. Yeah. So Allah sort of mentioning that you used to look at. So now we are turning you. فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا. Now we have turned you towards the Qibla that is pleasing to you. فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. So turn your face towards in the direction of Masjid al-Haram. And wherever you are, وَحَيْثُمَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرًا. Then turn your faces in its direction. Surely for those who were given the scripture certainly know that this is the right. And it is from their Lord. Allah is not heedless of what they do. Yeah. So this was the first part when the Qibla was turned. And when it was turned, Ibn Abbas says in authentic hadith, it was 16 months later, meaning in Rajab. This is 16 months in the second year, the middle of Rajab, when it was done, and it was changed from Baytul Maqdis to the Kaaba, which is authentic from Ibn Abbas. But Ibn Abdul Barr al-Qurtubi, the great Maliki scholar, I mentioned him before, is Muhaddith as well, a great Maliki scholar. His opinion was, although Ibn Hajar disagrees with him, but his opinion was that it was first Kaaba. When the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina, it became, because the Jews were there, he's trying to argue, it became Baytul Maqdis. And then after a couple of years, it went back to the Kaaba. We have no evidence for that, which is authentic. The clearest and best evidence is Ibn Abbas's evidence, which is given in authentic statement, hadith, that it was changed from Baytul Maqdis to the Kaaba. But the Prophet ﷺ, someone used to pray at the Haram. How did he used to pray? Where was the Kaaba? When he turned in the direction of Baytul Maqdis. Behind him, the side of him, in front of him,
in front.
You have the Kaaba in front, in the direction of, which is interesting, isn't it? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's documented, that's how he used to pray, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now, Ibn Hajar, disagreeing, Ibn Abdul Barr, Ibn Hajar came nearly a couple of hundred years after Ibn Abdul Barr, said, no, this is not right. This is abrogation twice. First is abrogating him, and we know I have no evidence of it. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. So the first salah that was the Prophet ﷺ prayed while he wasn't in Masjid al-Nabawi. He was amongst the tribe in Medina, amongst a tribe called Banu Salama. Yeah. He prayed Salatul Dhuhr, was the first prayer he prayed when this revelation came. When this revelation came. And he changed the direction of the Qibla to Masjid al-Haram, to the Kaaba. The first salah he prayed in Masjid al-Nabawi was Salatul Asr, because he'd returned by then. in the direction of the Kaaba. The first salah to be prayed in Masjid al-Quba, on the outskirts, on the outskirts, southern outskirts of Medina, where the Prophet ﷺ first arrived, remember? Yeah, was which salah? Salatul Fajr the next day. So, because the news reached them by Fajr, they didn't know. Somebody has to be sent and said, yeah, we've got revelation now. So by the time they reached Quba, Maghrib and Isha had gone, so they were still praying those prayers in the direction of Baitul Maqdis. And Quran, the Prophet ﷺ never criticized and said, oh, why do you do that and all this? Because you only do when you get the information. You can't do it before that, can you? And then, of course, there was a fuss. The fuss is made by the Jews and the Munafiqs. The Mushriks and the Munafiqs. Yeah? Mushriks and Munafiqs. What is all this? And of course, Jews are angry because they had some, you know, respect, because he was praying towards Baitul Maqdis, which they revere anyway, but now he's being changed from there. I think, oh, what's all this going on? Yeah. Objecting from the mushriks, the Jews, etc., why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said now in earlier ayat, at the beginning of Juz number 2, سَيَقُولُ السُّفَهَاءُ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَا وَلَّهُمْ عَنْ قِبْلَتِهِمُ الَّتِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهَا. The foolish people, the foolish people, they're saying, what has made them turn away from the direction they were formerly praying in? قُلِ اللَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Say, to Allah belongs the east and west. He guides whomever He wills to the straight path. It's from Allah, they're not just making it up themselves. That's what the answer came, Allah's giving. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. And the famous ayah, thus we have made you a nation of the balanced nation, of the middle way, so that you can, لَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ, so you can be witnesses upon humanity, witnesses to the truth. On humanity, and the messenger can be a witness upon you. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ. And ulama Mufassir says, and we did not make the change from the Qibla you were on. Yeah, although the Quran doesn't mention the word change, but it's implied meaning. So Mufassirun said, that's what it's saying, as some Sahaba said, that the Quran, Allah saying that we only made the change of the Qibla that you were on from what you were on to know those who would follow the messenger, separate them from those who would turn away on their heels. So it was a test. If you believe that this is a messenger of Allah, he's getting wahi, and he says, now we're going to change the direction, well, it's a test to see if he really is a messenger of Allah, isn't it? As soon as you say, oh, what's he up to? It means you don't really think he's the messenger of Allah, and he's not getting wahi. You see? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that's what you're being tested for, to see if you really believe. It's not the direction that matters, but it's who's saying it. And he's claiming that Allah's told him. So if you believe he's the messenger of Allah, you'll turn straight away. As they did. Inside Salatul Fajr, Quba, when the man came calling that the Qibla has been changed, during Salatul Fajr they changed. So that's sami'na wa ata'na, we hear and we obey. And this is the amazing thing about the Sahaba, compared to previous nations, they were amazing, subhanallah, subhanallah. Wa in kanat lakabiratun illa ala alladhina hada Allah, and it's a big thing, except for those who Allah guides. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. And surely Allah will never put to waste your iman. Here, Sahaba and Mufassirun said, Allah's not talking about iman here. The meaning of iman here is your salah. If you read tafsir, this is what you'll find. Here, iman doesn't mean faith. Here, Sahaba and Mufassirun said, because some of the trouble causers from Munafiq Mushrik saying, what about all your previous prayer? They've gone to waste and you were praying in the wrong direction all this time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded here, saying, your prayers previously were, you were following an order from Allah and His Messenger anyway. So Allah will not put them to waste. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرَعُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Surely Allah is forgiving, most merciful, gentle and merciful with human beings. And also Ayatul Bil came similarly in response to those who were making a big deal about changing direction. Ayatul Bir in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 177, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّ وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. I haven't got time to go through it. It is not righteousness, meaning it is not just righteousness, it's not to do with direction, whether you turn your faces to the east or the west. Yeah. In other words, if you're facing east, now you're facing west, don't say that, oh, these people are misguided now, and they're bad people, and before they were in the east, or vice versa. It's not the direction. But real piety is believing in Allah, isn't it? Because if we're believing in Allah, believing in the Messenger. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَىٰ. Real piety is actually being convinced with conviction, believing in Akhirah, in the angels, the books and the prophets, after believing in Allah. Yeah. And one, those who give out of love of Allah, etc., etc. The ayah goes on mentioning what piety and righteousness really, really is about. So don't get hung up on all this, oh, they've changed direction from this way and that way, as these people are trying to stir up in you. Okay. So that's change of Qibla. And now, we come back to Ghazwatul Badr. We haven't got time much to cover much of it today, but we'll have to cover it in the next lesson. I hope to cover all of it, inshallah. The Prophet ﷺ had heard in Medina that Abu Sufyan was leading a big caravan, trade caravan, coming from Syria, going to back to Mecca with 30 or 40 armed protectors for the caravan. So it's a big caravan, big trade caravan. So when you're doing economic sanctions and you know that's happening, going right past you, then of course the idea isn't, like the Orientalists put and some understood, that Prophet is going out looting, etc., for no reason. You know, innocent Abu Sufyan's going by, yeah, poor civilians, and here comes the Messenger of Allah looting, etc., you know, coming out to loot him. Yeah. It's an unfair and completely improper picture, isn't it? To give that. Yeah, so when you understand the context what I've described, you can see why the Prophet would be interested in regards to the caravan, what to do, because he's got information coming from the scouts he sent out that this is what's happening. He's going with his caravan, and this economic help is going to strengthen them to come out on against us even stronger. We have to do something about it. Okay? Now, there's a debate now here among some as to, did the Prophet ﷺ come out for the caravan only from Medina and then later ended up facing the Mushrik army from Mecca? Right? So, majority give you that view when you study Seerah. Why is there a debate? And we'll look at the debate, why? But I like the analysis done on this in Sirat al-Nabi by Shibli Nu'mani, the famous Indian scholar and muhaddith. He was a great scholar, and his Sirat al-Nabi is also amazing. And he tries to put most authentic parts of it together. His analysis on this, partly his analysis, because he also is thwarting the idea of the the Orientalist, because he's trying to get away from the idea that the Prophet is going to plunder a caravan. So in defiance of that, yeah, he argues with lots of evidences, which I'll mention some of them, from Quran as well, which indicate that the Prophet actually set out either for the caravan and also was aware that the Quraysh, by then, by the time he set out, that the Quraysh army was also, they will have found out that this caravan is coming and scouts and what Muhammad is going to do. So he argues that the Messenger of Allah actually set out from Medina knowing both that there's a possibility they'll catch up with the caravan before they end up meeting the Quraysh army coming to attack them. That's how he puts it. And I think that's probably the best view. Probably the best view. But the other view is, which is actually a majority view, if you read majority of the Sirah books, that he's coming out for the Abu Sufyan's caravan. And Abu Sufyan's caravan manages to evade him. They manage to evade him whichever view you take. But Abu Sufyan finds out, cottons on, and he's clever, and he changes his route and goes by the coastal route, so he bypasses Medina completely. Yeah, so he escapes. But by then, when the Prophet find out, they also know that the Quraysh army is now coming. Yeah. So those of that view say, now he takes consultation about fighting the Quraysh army. Shibli Nomani says, no, he does that consultation before he sets off from Medina. I'm inclined to agree with him, because notice in all the previous expeditions that I sent out for the 2 years, what did I say? Only Muhajirin came out, right? But in this case, right from the outset, 300 plus, mostly Ansar, 100 Muhajirin come out. So the difference. Now, the Ansar won't come out because they weren't coming out before, and then you do a consultation, will you fight now? It is likely the consultation is being done in Medina for them to come out in the first place, doesn't it? That fits with logic and also what's happened historically, and with the pledge of Aqaba. Yeah. So this is one of the analyses of Shibli Nomani, that the Ansar never came out on the previous expedition, they came out on this one. And the Prophet ﷺ took consultation about fighting the Quraysh. Therefore, when he took consultation, will have been in Medina. And when he took it, although there was a possibility of the caravan, that's still there. Because Quran mentions the possibility of either. And we'll come to the verses next time. We haven't got time this time. Possibility of either. So the Prophet ﷺ takes Mashura. When he takes Shura, first, Abu Bakr stands up. This is authentic hadith mentioning, and says good supportive things that we're ready. Yeah, meaning because the Quran mentions that there were some who were fearful that they're going to be facing the Quraysh army. They're facing death. Yeah. The Quran wouldn't mention that if they were just coming out to get a caravan. Okay, the Quran mentions that. So Abu Bakr says positive things. Then the Prophet ﷺ, in one report, riwayat says, Prophet ﷺ just sort of expected that anyway. So Umar stands up, similar things. Prophet ﷺ just takes it because then they're realizing where he's heading. These are all muhajirs anyway. And then Miqdad stands up. Miqdad, muhajir again. Yeah, one of the leading and the first the converts. Miqdad says, Ya Rasulullah, we believed in you. We know you are the Messenger of Allah. Yeah, we've come to this oneness. We come to Islam. Do as you wish, we are with you. Ya Rasulullah, we will not say like the Bani Israel said to Musa alayhi salam, Idhab anta wa rabbuka faqatala inna hahuna qa'idun, as the Quran mentions. You and your Lord go ahead and fight. Yeah, both of you. We'll just sit here waiting. Miqdad said, we won't say it like the Bani Israel said. But we will say, yeah, Idhab anta wa rabbuka فَقَاتِلَ إِنَّا مَعْكُمَا مُقَاتِلُونَ. Go and you and your Lord and fight. Surely we will fight with you. Ya Rasulullah, if you take us to some far off land, or if you ask us to plunge ourselves into the sea, we'll be ready to do that, Ya Rasulullah, whatever you order us to do. So the Prophet was this valor and this encouragement, the Prophet was pleased with it, but he still carried on saying, give me consultation, O people. So then they realized, the Sahaba reported afterwards, Ansar realized he's talking about them. That's what he's waiting for. And we know why. Yeah, because they're going out to fight outside Medina. So now, Sa'd ibn Ubadah. I have to stop here because there's a debate about who actually stands up and speaks. In many of the Sirah books, I find it says Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh is the leader of the Aus. Sa'd ibn Ubadah is the leader of Khazraj. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh was at Badr. Sa'd ibn Ubadah was not at Badr. For whatever reason, he didn't make it. But in Sahih Muslim, when I looked at the hadith and I checked it as well, even though in some of the Sirah books they report it, it is Sa'd ibn Ubadah who actually speaks, not Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, in Sahih Muslim. And in the Arabic, you can see it there as well. And that's significant, because if it's Sa'd ibn Ubadah, he didn't leave Medina. So the consultation must have been in Medina, not later on outside Medina. So that's a good evidence to show that as well. The rest of it, inshallah, we have to finish there. We'll carry on with Ghazwatul Badr. May Allah help us, guide us, and forgive us. Wa akhu da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.